Okay, so I'm hearing that the Butler's Chocolate Club have been coming up here for the whole duration of the COVID pandemic, and they found solace here. But you know, if you went back a couple of hundred years, you'd be running into highwaymen and all of that, because we were very close to Kilmore Big is the actual name of the townland where we're sitting, and Kilmore Osgailge Quilmore, the big wood. So up to the 1700s, all of this land around here for a mile, 2 miles, everywhere we look would have been a wooded area. And when houses started to be built on it, the big houses, they would have called it woodlands, woodlawns. Wood was always figuring in the names of the houses. And of course, by then, it was all the land of gentry. And close to here, there would have been houses owned by English gentry that passed to the Irish after the War of Independence. And then, for example, just across the way, from about 50 or 60 yards from here, would have been an old house that became the Dutch Embassy. And facing Riverside, just to give people a location in the area, facing Riverside, where Atlantic Home Care used to be and now has the range. But if you go back 1,000 years, 50 yards from here again, there was a grave found from the Battle of Clontarf. Because you can't see the houses in the way, you are quite close to the Strand, maybe 2 miles, 3 miles down to the Strand. But back in the old days, the sea would have been coming in a little bit more. It's silted up a bit now. But they did, in 1934, they found 14 bodies, a Viking burial site from the Battle of Clontarf, where Cloche de Duloc is. And the river that these lads are sitting beside, well, it's just over through that house there, or that factory there, is the Santry River, which flows back up into Santry, where this man in particular, this is Barry Black, his forebearers, his great-great-grandfather, came to Santry in the 1860s as the Donville estate manager. His name was Henry Harris. And you can see by the look of him, there is a bit of landed gentry about him. As he strode in there, he was looking down his nose a little bit. They were the Protestant ascendancy classes. But then, unfortunately, one of Henry's daughters went off and married an RIC man and from Mullingar, and then the Clarks came there and the Blacks. And so that's why he's down now, and he's sweeping out the yard instead of owning it now.
Thanks for that, Jerry. And we're up in Butler's, as Jerry mentioned, and we're actually in a place called Butler's Chocolate Cafe, and it has been, I suppose, the meeting spot for the man who I'm going to talk to now. It's got them through the COVID because they met up every day because there was nothing else they could do, and they kept that meeting every day to keep them going. So now, Barry, tell us a little bit about yourself. And I know you're here on your own at the moment, but your friends are going to be joining you. So you came up here every day through the pandemic.
Every single day. And the reason we came up, as I said, was we used to go to Costa, but it couldn't see each other, so we came up here. And the staff up here are very nice, very good. And we have our coffee every day, and we stay for about 2-3 hours every day during the COVID.
Now there's a gang of you. There's about 5 or 6
there's
of you.
5 or 6 of us.
And tell us a little bit about how you met. Have you been friends for years? And when this hit, it was something none of us ever experienced, and it was a bit frightening. So to be on your own and not seeing your friends or family, it was a daunting experience. So tell us a little bit about how you kept that going every day, meeting up.
Well, I met Jimmy and George about 3 years ago. And I met Tony 2 years ago. Now, Margaret, she's a woman that comes with us. I met her when we were 13.
Oh.
And, oh yeah.
Very good.
And we're still great friends. And as I said, we come up to Butler's every day during the lock. We never stayed at home. We were up here every single day.
Every single day, rain, hail, shine.
Rain, frost or snow, we were up here. And then two of us, we go for a walk around the estate while the others sit and have their coffee.
So. And did you feel, you know, if you hadn't got this place to go to, like we didn't have anywhere to go really for the past 15 months, but this one place where you just could meet up with your friends, what would you have done on the days if you hadn't been meeting up with them?
Gosh, I don't know, because I wouldn't have stayed at home anyway, because I'm on my own, so right. There's no point in sitting in the house on your own. that's why I come out every day.
Could I ask you a question, Barry? Like, knowing your history and knowing that the great-great-grandfather managed the estate, which is now Santry Park, did you ever go in there while the pandemic
was on? Oh, we did. We walked
in
there,
the Santry, going back to your roots
going
a little
back,
bit.
All around the woods, yeah.
Yeah, and would you have been telling all the boring them to death about all
of going
over there? And okay, well, fair enough.
I would have been boring them to death about the woods.
Well done. Good stuff. Good stuff.
It was great.
So what's going to happen now, the future, with all the coffee shops open? Will you still up here?
We'll still be up here. We wouldn't move now. As I say, the staff are brilliant. Mm. So we wouldn't move away.
How's the health going with all the chocolate every day? Do you just put on weight, or do you just manage to get in the gym or anything like that? But Jesus, if I was walking up here every day, I'd be full of chocolate. I'd be going around with a big stuffed face, 18 stone.
Anyway, Barry, it's great to talk to you. We're waiting for a few more of your friends to come up, and they're going to tell us a little bit about their own stories. I mean, I've been up here a few times and I've spoke to one or two of you, and there was one man in particular told me about how his wife had passed away.
Tony.
Yeah, and now he's not here today. He's gone out for a day trip somewhere.
He worked in Carlingford.
Wow.
And he's going back up to Carlingford to have a look around.
Yeah. Must have heard Debbie was coming, did he?
No, he had arrangements made. He had arrangements made before Debbie asked us.
Yeah. But it was nice to see how he said to me himself one day how he just found this an hour or two a day meeting up with his friends really helped him, because like that he was still, I suppose, mourning for his wife. And
very sad about Estelle, you know, but he said now it would have really nearly killed him, he said, if he hadn't been out every day with us, you know. Mm. And we really pulled him around.
Now, what do you think of these men's sheds? Would you be interested in joining one of them now, or is this enough for you to meet up with your friends every day?
Enough for us up here.
And he doesn't have to buy any drink. I'm talking about that. The Clarks owned the pub in Santry for a while. They did. They owned the Swiss Cottage. And then they sold it off in the late 30s, early 40s to Belton's. So
Belton's on Collins Avenue?
Yeah.
The Belton family bought it off. Yeah.
Jack Belton.
He had a cousin. I'm just going to give you a funny story about Victor. The name Victor came up in conversation, Barry. Yeah. What was that about?
My name is Victor.
You've got a... That's
your
real name?
I have two names. I'm Victor Barry.
Okay, Victor Barry. Okay, well, the real Victor. And I have a photograph of him outside the Swiss in 1936. I was given to it by Jack Roberts, who was with them.
Yeah.
Fellas used to go by the pubs then, and they'd take a photograph, and they'd get 2 and 6 or 2 shillings off the lads in, and they'd get a copy of it. That's the way they used to work to get things recorded. But Victor, anyway, was a terrible man for getting up into the Protestant church. It used to be a dare in the village of Santry. You see, there was an old Christian site in Santry, but when the Protestants moved in the 1700s, they tore down what was left of the Catholic church and built a Protestant one on its place. So the dare in Santry would be to the lads to go up and write the Hail Mary on the bell, right? And the day the last Domble was being buried out of Santry Court, his name was Compton Mead Domble. You were right, Barry, earlier on. There was someone buried up in the church. In 1935, the last one was being brought out, and it was all over then for the gentry after that. But Victor climbed up into the tree. Did you hear this story?
Go ahead.
Tell us your version.
Yeah, the tree has had to put me in mind of it, because you can hear things really clearly.
He got up and he said something down about... You go ahead, tell him.
Well, the rector was praising the God, and the Lord was going, and Sir Compton Mead, and the arms of the angels, and God, and it was a Protestant, they were all there, and they were all bowed down, and they brought a dung cart, and they did all at ivy. I have a photograph of it, leave it, and your man, Slicky Redmond is holding, and Paddy Morden is in it from Santry up in the Villas. But Victor's up in the tree. And he's saying, and the Lord is going to take him into his arms. He was only an old shagger, he was. And they were all looking around. Well, other names, I don't know what else you call him. What was your version of it?
Well, nearly the same.
So everyone was looking around, who the well was Victor up with the thing. He used to wear the hat.
Yeah.
Like he was a bit of a bio. A little bit like Barry, not shy.
So Barry, right, I know, as I mentioned, you're here on your own, but you're... Mates are going to come up now, and we're going to have a chat with one or two of them. Have you been friends for years with all of these men?
No.
I know you said you met them 2 or 3 years ago.
2 or 3 years ago. That was the first time I met them.
All of them?
All of them.
And how did you meet?
We were in Costa, and there was... I was with a man there, and Jimmy knew him, and Jimmy got talking to me, and then George got talking to him, and from then on we've been together.
And was it a weekly meeting you used to meet, or was it every day before the pandemic?
Every day in Costa.
And then you moved up here.
Yeah, we moved up here.
So it's great, isn't it? It's great to have that chat.
Here was George. We were in the woods, walking around, and I said, "We can't sit outside Costa, so we go up to Butler's." And they said, "Where's Butler's?" And I said, "It's in Clun's Shock Industrial Estate." Mm. So from then on, we've been up here.
And it's kind of hidden. Some people don't know anything about this Butler's, and it's the factory here as well. You can do the factory tour.
The factory tour, but the tours are off at the moment because of the COVID.
Yeah. It's a great little tour. It's a good little tour. I did it now a few years ago with the kids.
I'm just going to flash the census of 1901, because we have a saying in Santry, right? If you're not in the census of 1901, you're the blow-in. And I fall into that category because I've got not in Santry Village. But this man here, if this is the census from 1901, and I can see his father's name. He's 6 years of age, and he's a grandson of Henry Harris. And there's Joseph, his brother. That's Joe, Bun's father.
Bun's father.
And there's your granny. And there's the first time Clark is mentioned.
Mary Clark.
Because she marries RAC man, Clark. So Harris Protestant becomes Catholic Clark, and then your generation is born. So you are definitely not a blow-in in Santry.
No.
You're in the 1901 census. I just wanted to give you that accolade, okay? Mm-hmm.
Okay, listen, Barry, thanks for talking to us. And as I said, Jerry, be talking. Jerry, be talking to a few of your friends when they come back. And that was Barry Black there. And that was Jerry Cooley talking to him. Barry is originally from Santry. And as we know, Jerry lives in Santry and knows a lot about it. So he had a bit of history there of yesterday. And Barry, himself and Barry were talking about it. But as Barry mentioned, it was his lifeline meeting up with these guys every day throughout the pandemic when they were allowed. And they did keep their social distancing, their two metres apart, as he mentioned as well. But it was kind of a lifeline for him to meet up and just have that chat, a bit of human contact. I'm going to go to a piece of music, and after that I'm going to go over to part two, and this will be us talking, Jerry talking to George. So do stay tuned for that.
Okay, we're up outside at Butler's Chocolates, and we're after been talking to Barry Black, and he's been telling us there's a club of gentlemen, a gentleman's club plus one lady who came through the pandemic together, chatting up here most afternoons. And George, I believe you're one of the more quieter members of the group.
I'm the quiet lad. I don't get a word in with the others, you know.
Right.
Aye.
And you found it useful because you came back day after day to have people maybe of your own age and your own similar background time-wise and helping you through the pandemic?
Oh, yeah. Like, if you were married to a woman like mine, you'd get out too, you know?
That's not fair enough. She's not here to defend herself. She's not here to defend herself.
Oh, we got to meet and we went for walks, and then we went for the more, and then we had coffees, and then we decided we'd go to...
Right.
Barry told us about this place. We never heard of it before.
Well, this is Clun Shock.
This is the men's shed with no shed.
Yeah. Well, no, I have to say, we're sitting under the trees here, and it's very sort of... like nature is here all around us. You've got the grass, the lovely colour green. So this all helped towards sort of levelling sort of things down a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is the special branches over us, you know. They're minding us all the time, you know. So we're well within the law, you know.
So was there times when you couldn't make it and then you probably felt a little bit left out?
Oh, I always made it.
You were always here?
I always made it. Made it. We had to sign in.
Okay.
And sign out.
And just among yourselves, was there a red card system that if someone was really sort of boring you to death about something, you'd produce the red card and say, enough is enough?
Oh, no, we just...
Just bored
on. Pull the plug.
Very good. And so, did you partake in chocolate drinks and coffee drinks every day?
Oh, coffee drinks all the time, yeah.
Well, you're not looking any of the worse on it. You're a fine figure of a man now, I have to say.
I haven't seen a mirror since I started this coffee business, you know.
So, are you on social media or anything like that?
Oh, no.
This is all sort of, if you're here, you're here, you're not, you're not.
Yeah, You miss out.
Okay. So, do various people in the group have hobby horses, for example? You know what button to press. If you mention something, you know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. You don't mention golf.
Okay, golf is out.
No, you could get a bit of a ball.
Okay. Well, while Barry is not here, I'm going to fill you in a little bit on Barry, right? Barry was from a Protestant ascendancy family. His great-great-grandfather, Henry Harris, he was brought in from England by the Donvilles in the 1860s, and they ran the estate not so very far from here, which became Santry Court. But one of the daughters of Henry Harris broke ranks and she married an Irishman, RIC, Catholic, and that's Barry's side of the family.
Yeah.
So just watch yourself there. When you're
My side of the family was, my mother was a Protestant.
Right.
My grandfather was caretaker of John's Church in Sandy Mount.
Well done, okay.
They changed their religion and my father married a Catholic. So my father married he had two religions.
Go away.
Yes.
Now I had three. One of them was called Guinness.
So Annie DeMuddy, my mother used to say, Annie DeMuddy out there is related to me.
Very good. Actually, Barry's black, his father was Protestant. So
yeah,
it was a bit of a mix.
We were Dublin Four. Pembroke Estate owned it all.
Yeah.
Dublin Four.
Yeah,
Ball's
Richard
Bridge.
Ball's
Bridge, yeah.
Richard DeClare.
So George, Barry was saying to us, you all met up in Costa. Going back, that you weren't friends for years. I thought you were friends for years.
No.
You just all met up.
See, we were all independent, and then we start meeting, and then Barry came into the scene, then a woman came into the scene.
Ah, good luck.
Then Tony came into the scene, and the scene is just getting bigger and bigger, you know?
Right.
Okay, and then did you find yourself through this pandemic, if you hadn't had these, that you would have been on your own, like? Or do you have family at home?
Well, we were on our own when we met Barry, and then he told us about this place, and he was the cause of all this.
Yeah.
So any drink we get here, he gets credit.
Oh, very good.
He's on the sleigh here, you know.
Nothing new there, I tell you. I told you, his crowd owned at a Swiss Cottage pub. They lost it in a game of cards, something like that. Mm. On the back of
But seriously, George, every day is me up, every single
day,
hail, rain or shine.
Day, yeah.
So it must be that kind of highlight of your day, knowing you're going to meet up with Barry and other guys.
Oh, yeah.
You really enjoy that. It's great to see men meeting up like that. It's usually women who go for coffees, but it's great to see.
And we all have different interests, which just makes it even better again, you know.
Okay, so do you have hobbies?
I do jigsaws.
Do you?
Wow.
They've no time for jigsaws.
Right.
But I show them the pictures and they're still, that's nice.
Yeah, that's nice. They don't get it.
Took me hours to do it.
Yeah, they don't get it.
They don't care.
And even if there was a piece missing, they wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Not interested.
And then Tony does the crosswords. I'm not interested in them.
Yeah, you see, everyone has their own interests.
Well, now I'm either given a copy of my book to the club, so to pass around.
So please
read it and enjoy. Yes. There's no jigsaws in it or anything like that. So Barry, are mornings or days that you probably didn't feel like coming up here? Maybe you just get a bit of a downer some day, the weather was bad. And did you find when you came up here you left it in better form?
Well, it'd be always a read outside his door if he wasn't here, you know.
God bless you.
We really look forward to things here, you know.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like nobody jumps out of the bed every morning full of the joys of spring except Debbie, because it's all drugs related.
Well, I don't sleep in Debbie's room, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's medication. She calls
it
medication.
No, not we came up here.
So anyway,
that's dedication.
It turns,
my medication.
Coming up here, I would feel now. Like I have a couple of buddies, and we meet up maybe, and then you always feel a little bit better before you came, better after you leave them. Would that be true of the group now?
Well,
I'll be serious about this now, please.
I feel that when we're here, a lot of people passing by got to know us through here.
Okay,
and we got to know them. We don't know the names.
Right. Yeah.
But if we ever see them again, then are you not up?
Ah, very,
you
know, nice.
And that's the way it is. It's just spread the gospel, you know?
Yeah, good.
I think it's great. It's like that,
nice.
As Barry says, men shed without the shed, or you said, men shed without the shed.
And we're all from different areas, you know?
He's landed gentry, you know that. I told you that story. That.
See, I was a plumber, you know, and if he kept tripping, I'd fix it, you know?
Yeah, Mr. Leak.
Yes, Mr. Leaky. Yeah.
Leaky. Was your nickname Leaky,
He said he's the radiator that leaks. I said if a son that won't work, you know? So
There you go.
Come so that's in. Great. So you'll continue to meet every day.
Oh, yeah,
even
We have different interests in life, and that's how we get on, you know?
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, the butler chucked at five.